Welcome, 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 everyone. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening since the first of the year, usually at the very bottom, the last half hour, the bottom of the hour in this show on Wednesdays, I do a little segment called Over the Hump and Trump. Because one, it's Wednesday, and two, we all need to get over Trump and talk about something else for a little while. It is a segment that is meant to connect us, share the things that we love, all experience some apolitical joy, hopefully together. Today, we're taking that segment right now at a special time, and I'm joined by my colleague at Civic Media, Greg Gunderson, avid outdoorsman. He's coming to us from WCQM Park Falls to talk about the amazing Birkebeiner cross-country ski race, the Wisconsin tradition extraordinaire. Welcome, Gray. Thanks for making time.
Thank you so much for having me, Meg. I appreciate the opportunity.
So for the city slickers who may be listening, and I count myself lovingly amongst your number, though I would also like to count myself an avid outdoors woman, tell us what the Birkebeiner is. It is having its 50th anniversary. So amazing. What is it? Why is it such a big freaking deal here in Wisconsin?
Well, for a couple of reasons, Maggie. The Birkebeiner in its current form is a ski race. That's the shortest, simplest answer. It's a really long ski race, and it globally popular ski race. As with anything, if you're going to do it to the extreme, you're going to attract attention. You're going to attract a global audience full of people who solely exist to challenge themselves in those weird ways that happen when you leave humans alone for too long on the planet.
Yes.
They come up with things like 50-mile ski races and things like that. But if you want to actually answer the question of what it is or where it came from, it was actually a baby skiing down a mountain in a war. Which I know, just zoom back.
I did not know that. Tell me more.
Very quickly, and I've got a brief version of this. During the 1200s, there was a civil war happening in Norway, and there was a group called the Baglers. And the idea was they wanted to stop this young prince from succeeding in becoming king. That prince was named Håkon Håkonsson. A couple of the warriors who were tasked with protecting Håkon were aware that, hey, they're coming to get this baby. Like, it's a baby, but they don't care. They're coming for him. So we need to get out of here. What's the fastest way? If you're at the top of a Norwegian mountain, I don't mean to stereotype, but what's your fastest way out of anywhere? A pair of skis is going to be an option on the list. So that's actually what they did. A pair of warriors took a baby and skied across mountains. And here's the fun part. Birkebeiner. That refers to birch bark. They wore birch bark leggings. Their clothes. Their clothes were made out of tree bark. Wow. And that's the kind of material and equipment they had to save this baby, which they did. They saved him. He goes on to unify Norway, ending the war that almost got him killed as a baby. And so a few years later, as in 200 years later, people were like, hey, we should commemorate something that cool. And it's steadily turned into this global network of races. I think there's something like 7 of them across the globe that happen all over the place. Continents.
Wow.
Basically.
I thought getting my pair of Salomon, like custom fitted cross-country skis back in like the second grade was a big deal. I also had to get like adult size skis because I was freakishly tall back then. So I digress. Nothing like a baby going 50 miles on a pair of skis with some birch pants. I'm never going to look at a birch tree the same again, Greg. I got to tell you.
There's a party atmosphere involved these days, Maggie, than I think probably was before, back when they were saving lives. But nowadays, what happens is basically you've got two cities in northern Wisconsin, or two very small towns, one would say. You've got Cable and you've got Hayward. And Cable is basically the starting point. Hayward is basically the ending point. You've got 50 kilometers or more, depending on the race. And people are starting all the way up at this elevated spot and actually finishing their race in the main street of Hayward, Wisconsin. That's where the finish line is, actually just a couple blocks from the offices of one of our affiliate stations there in Hayward, WBZH, where we'll physically be on Saturday watching people just zooming right by us on their skis in the middle of downtown Hayward. I mean,
drinking a hot toddy. I mean, you got to have the adult beverages. Like, this is in Wisconsin, it's not just the skiing and the outdoorsmanship of it all. It's also, you know, the drinking part. Hey, Gray, would you mind? We got Jim from Brookfield. He does the Berkey every year. Jim, say hi to Gray for me. Tell us how much you love the Berkey. Are you doing it this year? Are you excited for it?
Yes, I am doing it. I have full Berkey fever. I've been going up there 28 years. I've skied over 20 of them, some Cordalopets as well. And I just want to say thank you both, hello to both, and thank you for talking about this statewide and civic media, because after going up there several years, I've noticed that anybody south of Highway 10 in the state of Wisconsin doesn't know much about it. North of Highway 10, it's a big deal. But in the Milwaukee area, southeast Wisconsin, I'm like, hey, I'm going up to do the Berkey. People kind of
look at you
like,
what?
Say, what? Yeah. So anyway, thank you for the exposure. It is a big deal. And it's not just for the skiers. My kids, when they were little, they did the Barney Berkey.
Yes.
That's a little kids race that's the Thursday before. It was great. Friends have come up. We cook warm meals. Of course, afterwards, we have good food and drink. It's just a fun weekend. And from a skier's point of view, I can just say there's nothing like hitting Lake Hayward at the end where it's level. It does seem to go on
Thank
forever,
God.
But you see the big musky fish, you know, to your left as you're coming up behind the supermarket. You hit Main Street, there's the cowbells, the torch. It's nothing like it, Megan, and for the audience, it's one of the best experiences, you know, in my life. And when I did my 20th, you have a big 20 on your bib, and everybody's cheering and calling your name.
Aww.
It's just remarkable and a lot of fun.
Thanks so much, Jim. I love sharing the stories. I got exposed to the Birkebeiner. I've never raced it myself. Maybe that'll be something like for my 50th birthday, like make a point, because my birthday is actually coming up. It usually coincides with the Birkebeiner. So that is always kind of fun. So maybe I'll make it like life goal to do it when I turn 50. But I was exposed to it because my best friend's dad skied it a few times, and my family was a cross-country skiing family. And let me tell you, he showed me his toes one year after the race. Ooh, Lordy, put them dogs away. Bloody lost a couple toenails. I mean, great. Tell folks, this is quite an athletic endeavor, is it not?
Well, absolutely. And I think one of the best ways to highlight how important it is and how extreme it is that a lot of people know that last year, the Northwoods of Wisconsin received disaster relief loans because the lack of snow impacted businesses to that degree.
Right.
There was no snow in the Northwoods last year, which not zero. I don't like absolutes, but you get my point. It wasn't very cold up here. They actually begged, borrowed, and stole enough snow moving and, snow generation equipment. That's the word.
Yes.
They made enough snow to create a loop trail that was, I think, several miles long. I don't know if we still got Jim, maybe he could confirm exactly the mileage on that trail, but it was huge. They were able to replicate a 50K race with an abbreviated loop trail by making the snow themselves. So if you want to talk about the dedication, when it wasn't going to happen because Mother Nature canceled it, they said, nope, humans
nope,
are going
we're
to make
doing
it
this.
Yep,
we're going
to do the people way.
I remember logging that last year, like, oh my gosh, they have to make snow for the Birkebeiner. Like, this is a real thing. I wanted to also cue in and ask you, Gray, not just about the athleticism of the event, but does it draw people from all over the United States, globally? Are you seeing all kinds of folks there? And listen, if you are from southwestern or southeastern Wisconsin and you have never had the privilege of going up to the Birkebeiner, put it on the bucket list. It is really something to experience. It's so amazing. Such a sense of shared joy. So first question to you, Gray. Where are the contestants coming from? Do you need only sign up? Do you have to qualify for it? Is it like the Boston Marathon?
So there's actually a pretty friendly application process for something as well attended as it is. And it is well attended. There were estimated over 12,000 participants last year. For perspective, the town of Hayward has permanent residents below 2,500 in the last census.
It's tiny.
Yeah, and that's the participants. I'm not talking spectators. That's how many skiers there were last year. So keeping that in mind, they're coming from all over the entire country. I mean, I think there are a couple similar events that are a little more accessible if you're from the entire West Coast or anything like that. But for example, last year, two of the featured participants were the first gold medal winners on the U.S. women's cross-country skiing team, Olympic team. They were the first gold medal winners in that event, and they were there, and go figure, one of them won it last year at the Birkebeiner. But who else expected anything different when you've got those kinds of people up there? But what really blows my mind, Maggie, about the event is that there's a certain tone to it, and there's no political nature to the event. In fact, I think politics are shed at the door by most people involved, which is admirable. But I wanted to touch on the fact that the Birkebeiner, those birch bark leggings, that was a derogatory term. That was a term not used by the people who did the skiing. It was by the people who they beat in the war, the sour grapes. That was kind of the flavor of the sour grapes after that Civil War, was those darn Birkebeiners, those darn birch bark wearing barbarians. And now, this long later, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the tone of it, what made it unique, what made us unique, what we were able to draw from it and keep true in the Northwoods. And I think that's part of why it found its home here, because there's a little bit of a singularity here, but there's the opportunity to ski. So there was the opportunity for solidarity too.
I feel that. And I think that the idea of the perseverance, resilience, toughness of Wisconsinites, especially folks that live in the northern climes, it is definitely a rallying cry and certainly reflected in this origin story that I never knew about the Birkebeiner. So thank you, Gray. Tell us a little bit more about some of the different events. It's not just the skiing event. We've heard that there's a shorter course for adults. There's also a kids course. What else is going on up in Hayward?
Actually, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, it'd be pretty easy to imagine what kind of business discounts and specials that are running, but imagine, you know, actually, Maggie, one of the best ways to say it is imagine what Black Friday used to be. You remember when people like actually used to have something to fight over on Black Friday? Like people used to die in Black Friday events because there were deals that would like cause crowd crushes. It's not that extreme, but
No one's dying, right?
Oh no. It's a sign of something, good or bad, I don't know. but in Hayward, it's that level of enthusiasm, not mania, yes, but enthusiasm. Forgive me, a bit tough to find the word. There is that level of excitement, and I love it because you can't find that level of happiness anywhere but at a wedding. You know, you're at a wedding and everybody knows there's no sadness here. That's kind of what the Berkey is like. Everybody is there. Everybody can trust that we're all there for the same reason. And does it mean that you know everybody? No, there's like 30,000 people in town, but you know that everybody just cares about skiing and that you've got a common interest with everybody in town. How often can you be surrounded by 30,000 people and know that you have a common interest with all of them and it's not a political rally? I think that is like a unique
baseball games. Baseball games, Gray. I love me some baseball games. Concerts, Gray. Love me an outdoor Alpine Valley
festival. I didn't think about that very hard.
Yes, that's all right. That's what I'm here for. It's a team effort. Folks, if you're just tuning in, I got Gray Gunderson coming to this, The Maggie Dawn Show, and to each and every one of you from WCQM and Park Falls. We're talking all things Birkebeiner. It is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Folks have been skiing 50 miles for 50 years in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. It is a sight to behold, and it is today's installment of Over the Hump and Trump, a segment that we bring to you usually at 3:30 every Wednesday. Today at a special time because we've got a special guest at 3:30. And in that segment, we try to have some of what Gray's describing here, these shared moments of joy, connection to one another in a way that is completely apolitical. Gray, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about winter headgear and the fashions of the Birkebeiner, because, oh, that is good fun as well. I also want to talk to you about some of the great non-winter things that we can do in Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods woods and our state parks, because there's so much good going on in Wisconsin. Maybe we'll share a story or two. So we're going to take care of a little bit of business. Maybe I'll tell you about the first time I did a hell of a long cross-country skiing trip with my folks. I made it, but there was maybe a little petering out a few miles in. We'll talk about all that and more with our special guest on this installment of Over the Hump and Trump with Gray Gunderson. My name is Maggie Dawn, the host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. And Jim from Brookfield, thank you. He said the man-made loop last year was 10 kilometers or 6.2 miles. Thank you, Jim. Back with more in just a moment.